You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on November 30th, 2022, and is titled Psalm 103. Grab your Bible, turn to the book of Psalms, and let's join Steve and the message.
Well, man, what a nice little group tonight. It's good to see everybody. Glad y'all are here. Won't y'all give yourselves a little praise off from getting out in the cold and showing up this evening. We got Murph's here with us tonight, so we're going to have a little singing. Just a couple little house cleaning things. I've got to be out of town next Wednesday, and so Jim Murphy is going to come with his family. They're going to share some songs, and he's going to bring a word next week. So I thought that would be really good. How many of y'all be glad to have old Murph up there? I told the guy here a while back, he's asked me how our church is doing, and I said, well, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I mean, most of them want to go check the bank account or the seats or the building project. Or I said, well, the best I can tell, the kitchen tables around here starting to do pretty good. There's some people kind of getting their ducks, at least in a group, maybe not everybody in a row, but we're doing pretty good. And I said, they seem really healthy. And I said, I think the best part that I've done in the last 20 years is I've been being gone some. And that's the truth. Honestly, if you kind of get out of the way every now and then, how many people lean on your pastor? How many of y'all know if you lean on me, you're fixing to fall over? Yeah. No, I'll walk with you anywhere, but I'm not going to carry you everywhere either. And so, you know, we're kind of a do-it-on-your-own kind of group. And when I do got to be gone, there's plenty of people around here who are plenty anointed, plenty capable to hear from God and bring a word. In 20 years, I've never went to the Rolodex. I've never went outside the building. If I wanted to bring somebody here, it's because God connected us somehow. And we wanted them to come visit. But otherwise, you're going to bring a word. It's going to come pretty much from our body, somebody around here. And it's always a good word. Curtis, Allen, Leonard, Jim, whoever does some of this. The one key component. I don't care if you got letters behind your name. I don't care what tribe you came out of. I don't care about any of that. I care about one thing. If I believe you can hear God. If I believe you can hear God, then I believe that God will give you something to say that'll be beneficial to everybody here. If I think that you got to go hunt it up and figure it out, you're probably going to get to preach somewhere else. But if I believe you can hear God, and your guy will sit still for a minute and say, hey, God, I got to talk to these people. You got something you want to tell them? He will do that every time. He is faithful to do that every time. And so before we get Murph's up here, oh, the other thing, we do have some Christian entertainment coming on December the 14th. Cleve and AJ are coming, and they're going to bring a special guest. I don't know if we're doing anything tonight or not. Are we doing something tonight? Ransom. Well, we might here. Ransom plays his little mandolin, kind of. And anyhow, Cleve caught that on Facebook one day or something. So he called me this week, and he said, what about the mandolin player? And I said, well, it depends on what he is today. Some days he's a mandolin player, and some days he's a saddle bronc rider. And well, I'll check with him. He said, well, you tell him to bring his mandolin, and he can just start, and we'll fill in the blanks, and we're going to do our thing. So we plugged him in up here tonight, and we'll see if anything comes of that later on. So he does pretty good on his little mandolin. But they're going to be here on the 14th, and so we're going to have a good night. We'll get some snacks or something figured out. I don't know what we'll do, but just come to fellowship and enjoy and just sing and enjoy and be entertained together in some good Christian entertainment. And so we want to do that. The season is a really good time. You know, we've preached and taught around here a lot of details, a lot of different things, a lot of things about Christmas and Constantinianism and all these different things. But at the end of the day, I know what day Jesus wasn't born on, but I do know he was born. And I know that there was a virgin named Mary who was impregnated by God himself through the Holy Spirit. I know there's angels. I know there was some shepherds. I know everything the book of Luke says, the book of Matthew says, would be absolutely true. So, if society is chosen for whatever reason, I don't pray to a tree. So I'm fine. Don't show me that scripture in the Bible. I don't believe my tree is going to bring me nothing unless I had an apple tree or something. There's certain things about the whole trapping that you can be disgusted with, you can enjoy. But the truth of the matter is, all these different things, when done from inside the home and done in context, it helps us to congregate. It helps us to stop. I've thought about this a lot the last couple of years. We got home from the horse sale the other day, woke up Monday morning. We've been going day and night. Robin, she's worked plumb down to nothing. And by noon Monday, we had 22 people at our house. What a blessing. If you didn't have a holiday, we'd have never done it until somebody died. I just want you to think. There are certain things that will make a sale barn shut down for 2 weeks. So whether right, wrong, religiously correct, I don't know. We're going to handle it at our house how we handle it. There's some of this stuff that is totally ridiculous. And we're going to do it anyhow. That's just how it goes. That's going to include eating, buying stuff for other people. This year, I got to buy the presents for all the guys at our house pretty much because they all want cowboy stuff, so now I'm in charge. Yeah, nobody's going to take that away from me. It's not my form of worship. But it's a great opportunity to give something back and to do something for somebody else. So, in the midst of all the stuff, I don't care if you're anti-Constantinianism or you're super Jewish or I don't care where you fall in the mix of things. This season's going to happen whether you like it or not. You can either use parts of this to your advantage, or you can just cross your arms, stick your chin out, and just be an old churchy, you know, there's a word somewhere for this that can't go on Facebook right now. So but I'm kind of at a loss in my narrow dictionary here. So, but y'all get the point, don't you? There's things about this that, remember, there's about 7 years ago, when I preached a message on this Wednesday night before Christmas, and it was called A Baby Changes Everything. That one turned 7 this January. Now, if your focus is on your religion, you probably screwed it up already anyhow. But if your focus is on the life that's around you, and what God actually did by the Creator coming here as himself and opening a door. You're going to hear this tonight. Opening a door one time that no man can shut. If those are the things you focus on in your family, and your friends, if you get a lump in your throat because you like singing a few Christmas songs, if Little Town of Bethlehem bothers you, you're probably doing good. Don't rob yourself of that. Don't rob yourself. Have a Spirit-led Christmas. How about that? Doesn't that sound like a good idea? Have a Spirit-led Christmas. If it's Spirit-led, then it is approved by God. Because the Holy Spirit is his stamp of approval. So that's all I got to say about that tonight. Let's pray and we'll get the Murphs up here. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you tonight for just how good, how gracious you are. Tonight, Lord, use my mouth to bring out the very best of you, the reality of who you are. The reality of who you are is the owner of the universe tonight. Lord, help me use your guidance tonight, Lord, to explain that one door that's been opened and how we walk through that door and become your children, your co-heirs, children of opportunity. So we're going to talk about that tonight, Lord. And we just give you all this time, redeem the time. And we give you all the glory. Have your way through us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot of people walking around through the earth that hadn't figured anything out yet. Probably because you hadn't went and locked yourself in a room and picked around until you did. That includes this right here. Go pick around a little till you figure it out. So anyhow, proud of you, bud. Happy birthday. Y'all can spank him on the way out this evening. Psalms 103. I want to talk out of that a little bit tonight. It's been pretty interesting here the last month or two, and God's shown me a lot of stuff. He's changed my heart about a lot of stuff. I hadn't changed my mind about everything, but he's changed my heart a lot, the way I look things and different things. And then I've been in this deal here for a long time, and I didn't want to say much about it. Not going to say too much about it tonight, but our life got to fooling around, and I've told everybody. Robin thinks I'm having my fifth midlife crisis because we've been buying horses. We've had a lot of horses come through our place. Anybody that keeps up a little bit, you know they're not cheap. And sometimes, even at our lower level, it'll take your breath away a little every now and then. But every bit of it has been where I knew God was leading me to do something. Like, some of this will be hard to tell. Like, I got a little bay horse at home we call Clovis. He was a mistake at the Clovis horse sale back in August. And on Sunday morning, we got up, and this little bay horse is sitting out there in the pen, and nobody owns him. By the end of the day, we owned him. Robin, she said, you don't have to go buy that horse. I didn't have to buy that horse off that guy. He had plenty to pick apart on him. And I told her, I said, I smell a little God on this horse now. I think I'm going to enter up and just see how it plays out. Well, that horse will probably teach that boy right over there as much about riding a horse as any horse he's ever been on. We didn't even know it. He rides him all the time. That horse is amazing. We get out in the arena the other day, and there's Rider Jay. He's got his hand stuck straight out, and the bridle reins on his neck, and that horse just turned around as perfect as he turned around. Steers got back on us the other day, and them steers come through the gate, and old Clovis, he just jumps down on the ground, and he's been fairly well kind of trained in the cutting before Team Roper messed him up. He was doing really good. And Ryder, he's just grinning from ear to ear, and he's, "What's this, Paw-Paw?" "Well, we ain't had one within 5 miles of our place broke as good as that son of a gun." There's you can teach, and this applies to our walk, all this applies to our walk. You can teach a man how to get on, how to turn left, how to turn right, how to stop, and how to back up. You can't teach feel. You got to get in the saddle, and you got to feel it. And before you can duplicate it in another horse, you got to feel it in that one. It's the same way with the Spirit-led life. You got to come to a place where you know God is leading you to do things every day. Every day. Stuff that looks stupid. Stuff that's expensive, stuff that doesn't look right, stuff that's sacrificial, how you buy one thing one day and give it away the next. And so we've been buying horses And we've been placing them. This one will go here, and this one goes here, and Rhett's going to get this one over here, and we're going to do it. Steve Reed might get one, or Bunk Skelton. And we got a great story about Bunk that happened right here the night he preached. How that whole deal, he ended up with a horse. The whole deal looked like a teetotal disaster. I even had to take a cussing over it. But it was God at work. Well, now, why would you talk about stuff like it? Because for some of us, second to God and our family, horses are important. If you hadn't noticed, there's a movement. If we don't sell out our bowl of stew, sell out our heritage for a bowl of stew to Hollywood, see, that could get me in trouble because I got to go hang out with them here for a week. But everybody pretty well knows where I'm at. It's like some of the TV shows. People ask me, do you watch that? Nah. Well, I know the language. Don't worry about the language. I grew up in a sale barn. I can say those words better than they can. That was my first language. English was my second. But now if you're going to wear your cowboy hat backwards and your spurs up down and upside down, I'm out. That's our heritage. We Christians better be sure we don't sell out too. But all that being said, there's a prophecy by Smith Wigglesworth in 1890, and I've talked about it a lot all over the country. He said that the United States of America would be evangelized by the Western way of life. In our infinite wisdom, we thought that meant creating cowboy churches. No, it's a way of life. Christians got to do the same thing. If we're going to evangelize the world, it has to become our way of life. That means actually knowing God, recognizing God, hearing God, and doing things according to His direction. So in our life, with the horse and everything, we count all of it as ministry. See, we didn't create a ministry. We live one. In that ministry, you create opportunity. I want you to hear this tonight, because if you are a Christian today, your life of ministry creates opportunity. Because that's how our Father does it. I talked about it Monday morning, the gift of opportunity. And so with the horses, God has shown us how we can take in an area of our expertise, and it's not a knack. I know you take my grandson, Rhett. He's pretty much nilly-willy about every horse we had him on around there. Then we had him on an old 30-year-old that we got around there, and he just had to pound his guts out to get him to move. And pretty soon, if you got to do that all day, riding a horse isn't any fun. But I had an old horse down there at my house that Ransom was roping on, and everybody was pretty much enjoying him. And I just knew that if Rhett ever got on that horse, this was the deal. So one day while nobody's looking, I just stick him on there. When they all turn around, he's done took off in a lope. He ain't quit loping him since. That horse now lives in Oklahoma, and he ropes a dummy on him and does all the stuff. Not 1 ounce of fear. Everything was just perfect, and there you go. This kind of stuff's just been happening. So the other night, we had... I think we had just gotten home from Oklahoma or something and gone to get another horse. And anyhow, I was just talking to God, walking to the barn. And two things. I wish Dusty Leatherwood was here tonight. He was coming. Me and him have talked a lot lately about Enoch. How many of y'all know the story of Enoch? What was his number one thing on his resume? He walked with God. Christianity today, we teach people how to sit with God. And that night, I was walking with God. Right across my little parking lot there. And I said, Lord, I feel like a fool. I got building projects half done. I got horses standing around here everywhere. We're sending this one to this place and this place. And we're driving around getting this one and doing all this. And Lord, I know you've told me to do every nickel of it. But some of this just don't look very good. Look kind of dumb, really. What are you trying to show me? And he spoke to me and he said, I'm trying to give you a glimpse of what it looks like from where I sit. I'm the owner. And I create opportunity. The hard part is there's a lot of people walking around who don't even recognize opportunity. He said, not even the ones that pretend to know me that don't know me. He said, that's not them. But my children who don't recognize opportunity in their everyday life. This is when I realized that a pagan holiday is a great opportunity. They've been trying to get me to not be on Facebook for 3 years now. What a great opportunity to reach thousands and thousands of people with the gospel of Jesus Christ on the enemy's highway. Oh, there was a guy on stage about a week ago or so said, the darker it gets, the less light it takes to light it up. He said, and then there's those who realize the opportunity and they just won't do it. They just won't take the step. I'm providing opportunities. How many of you as Christians believe that the opportunities God gives you is to tell somebody about Jesus or to witness or to buy somebody lunch or do something like that? Maybe God will tell you to buy a horse and you ain't got no idea where he's going or what he's doing or why you got him. And you won't know until things kind of come to fruition. He might tell you everything, every day in your life, how to run your business. Full well knowing on down the road, somewhere in here, somebody's going to catch a glimpse of the kingdom of God. Somebody's going to recognize opportunity. And in this midst of all this opportunity that our Heavenly Father creates because he's the owner. But no, we told everybody that God's in control and he's a grand puppeteer and everything happens for a reason. So every car wreck was God's fault. Every rapist was God's fault. Every Muslim terrorist was God's fault. Everything, every disaster was God's fault. No, it's not all God's fault. God is the owner of all this. He has relinquished authority over to us. He gave us ears to hear. He gave us a spirit that speaks. And he said, now all you got to do is listen. If you'll listen and take the opportunity, I will help you make your life as full as possible. And he's going to do it with the things and the people you love. Because where your heart is, there your treasure is also. He knows he can have my full attention with a horse. You know what's easy for me to do? Buy a horse. You know what's hard for me to do? Sell a horse. So sometimes I just give them away. It looks crazy. But I'm the owner. So it's in my ability to create opportunity. The hardest part in all that is there's people in my life that don't recognize opportunity. There's people in my life that recognize opportunity, but they just don't want to put forth the effort to do it. Or they're too fearful to try it. Some people take the opportunity and they're so selfish they screw it up. And then there's people that just simply take the ball and run with it. Not even knowing it, I know a kid that sold chickens out of the back of a pickup. An opportunity came to the gate one day. And the guy said, I'll give you a job. And that kid said, okay. Over the first 5 years I was employed, and the other guys came around to give me a break, I refused to go on break. I wanted to be the first one there, the last one to leave, and I didn't want to miss one iota of what was going on. Later on in life, coming to know Jesus and starting to learn how to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, John 10 has come to full fruition. I will give you life. And give you life abundant. Life to the full. Life to the full is the greatest evangelism tool known to man. Fear of hell won't do it. And the allurement of heaven won't do it. Those are all momentary things. Fullness of life. To be able to sit at a sale barn and people start talking about all the things, how expensive a loaf of bread is. And you explain to them that Joe Biden is an employee of mine. And as sorry as he is, I can't fire him, but he is an employee.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org, or on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.